Hello, everybody.
Good.
So this is Dr. Will Tuttle. Just letting a few people in. And this is our World Peace Diet Circle for Thursday, January 20th, 2022. My gosh. So we have the chat open. You can feel free to unmute. Press *6 if you'd like to unmute and say anything. You can also say something in the chat. If you're having any trouble hearing me, just let me know. And we will get the show on the road here. So it's good to see you here. Some of you have your cameras on. That's great. Some of you don't. That's great too. Either way, it's fine. We are in West Palm Beach, Florida. And the weather is fantastic. I have to say, it's been really nice. Lots of sunshine and some rain, which they call Florida. They call that Florida sunshine. The rain too. And so things are very green and tropical. Lots of palm trees, coconut palms everywhere. And we're eating mainly sprouts, a lot of sprouts, about 15 different kinds of sprouts. I should take a photo for you guys and show you what we're eating. It's so interesting. Yeah. You may have seen it on their website or something, but it's a huge buffet of lots of sprouts and raw vegetables, basically, is what we're eating. So it's a cleansing thing, and we had dinner tonight with somebody who's working to heal cancer. That's pretty much the norm. People are here mostly to heal cancer or diabetes or high blood pressure or obesity, perhaps, or a lot of different things. So, but some are here just for a health tune-up, which is interesting too. So, we'll go ahead and I just want to say from the very beginning here that I don't have any regularly scheduled or special guest tonight. So this is just us chickens here. And so if you have any questions or concerns or comments you want me to address, this is a great time. It's an open... it's an open time, and Madeline's right here, too. She's just on the other side of the bed here. Oh, here yes. We go. There she is.
Hello. Hi.
Lisa. We see Lisa and Judy and Susan and Andy and Fred and Julie. A lot of other people are here. So, if you have any questions of Madeline, also feel free to indulge. Well, what we usually like to do in the beginning is have a meditation. So let's go ahead and maybe do that just to take a few minutes to get centered and connect with each other. And then we'll go ahead and open it up to the discussion for this time. Great. All right. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. And it's a little different when we're on the road like this as far as the technical side. So thanks for your patience. Let's go ahead and get started here. So you can turn your attention within. We'll begin our time of meditation. And let's just start by feeling our connection with our beautiful earth. This amazing, miraculous system that gives life and brings life. Countless beings, the beauty and abundance and creativity that is absolutely astonishing wherever we look. It's so wonderful just standing in the forest today and seeing the patterns of the palm leaves and the little squirrels jumping and running around, the raccoons, the whole symphony of life here. So we feel our connection not only with the symphony of life, but with the source of that life, infinitely creative power that just blossoms as beauty, as joy, as abundance and creativity in this world and in countless worlds. And we give thanks for our connection with this infinite source of life. And we connect with each other on this call. We feel our connection with each other as with trusted friends and with the community of truth seekers that were here on this earth in this lifetime with a mission to awaken ever more fully every day to the truth of our being, to our right livelihood and right understanding, the right way of living for us, that we may attain a deeper wisdom that we can then share through our actions and through our words, through our thoughts and feelings, so that out of our being radiates a power of healing and awakening, bringing peace and harmony into all of our relations. So we feel that. We feel right now the truth that we have a purpose, and that we're here to serve the highest purpose of the awakened beings who are with us at all times. I think we all feel this, and we know there are those who are more evolved than we are, and who enfold us and all living beings in loving kindness and compassion, and they bring wisdom into our world so that when we are faced with difficulties and challenges and confusion, we have clarity and insight, we have confidence in our true nature, which was never born and will never die. We rest in this knowing that we are manifestations of eternal consciousness, connected through our hearts to each other and to the great heart that beats and shines and radiates at the very heart of the universe. We're always connected to that heart, and that's the flow of light and wisdom is always flowing into our lives, and the light that shines at the heart of the universe, so that as we go through our days, every day we remember our oneness with all forms of life, and the compassion that we feel for others doing the best they can to fulfill their purposes on this earth, harmony with their true nature. And we feel our connection also with the source, knowing that all of the energy that we need and the power comes from the infinite energy and power that births countless planets and galaxies. This is also within every cell of our being. And the intelligence to bring healing into every aspect of our lives and into every situation, to bring joy and creativity to every aspect of life on Earth, for humanity at this time. And so we give thanks for our connection with the ever-present inner wisdom that guides our life, and we breathe together in silence, breathing as we exhale, we just let go into this moment. As we inhale, we draw in together from the one source, the inspiration and energy that fills our entire being with life, with truth, with freedom, with awareness. As we exhale, we allow our own unique truth and awareness and loving kindness to flow out into the world, every exhalation. It's radiating loving kindness in all directions with every exhalation. Radiating compassion in all directions with every exhalation. And radiating joy in all directions with every exhalation. Radiating peace in all directions with every exhalation. Abiding in our true home is love, compassion, joy, and peace. Whatever is happening in the outer world, nothing can ever move us from this ever-present reality that is our true nature, our original, everlasting nature. What happens in the outer world has a beginning and has an end, but we are as eternal consciousness. It's like the sky with no boundary. Through breathing that understanding in deep into every cell of our being, giving thanks for the healing that is always happening, giving thanks for the healings that we are helping to bring about in the lives of our friends and family and neighbors and in the relations on this earth. We are here on this earth to be a force for healing, for bringing health and harmony and wholeness and insight into the situation, to speak our truth with love and understanding, and to live our truth. Every day that we walk on this earth, and we give thanks for each other, and for everyone who has gone before us, all those who are to come, all of the brothers and sisters in the great movements for awakening, and the vegan movement, the movement for liberation of animals and liberation of humans, for health freedom, for justice, for equality. We give thanks knowing that every day we contribute to the awakening of humanity, and that every day we deepen our own inner wisdom and our capacity to serve effectively and to be the light that shines into every corner of the world to help with the awakening and to fulfill our unique purpose here. And finally, we give thanks for the wonderful presence of the animals of this earth who are here celebrating their lives with enormous intelligence and enthusiasm. We give thanks for their presence and their teaching, for all of our loved ones, for all expressions of life, for all the ecosystems, for all the non-visible beings, the benefactors. And for those who are to come, for the ancestors who have gone before. And we send from our heart out into this infinite web of relations. We send our blessing. May all beings be happy. May all be free. May we all realize the original brightness of our true nature. and let it shine forth the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. So, wonderful. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining in the meditation together. It's really an honor to be able to remember together. I think there's something very sacred about remembering together the deeper truths that in many ways our entire cultural program is doing its best to have us forget. to make us think that what we are is a fundamentally separate self, that we are here to struggle and compete with each other for a limited amount of money and a limited amount of happiness and so forth. All these lies that are propagated in our world, so we're grateful for the opportunity to explode them all, to prove them all wrong, and to bring ourselves back. It's like returning back to the truth that we are and remembering this together. One of the main things I always emphasize when I think about this with the Buddhist teaching, when we talk about the Eightfold Path and the idea of right understanding and right effort and right livelihood and right meditation and so forth, there's one that underlies all of those, without which the Buddha said none of those will maybe never work, and that's right association. It's the foundation of everything in many ways is who we hang out with, who we associate with. And so it's one of those important things that we draw around us and do the best we can to be of service to people around us, and basically we become like those people we are around a lot. So coming together like this in a community and remembering the deeper wisdom and why we're here is very important, especially during these times of such great challenges where so many of the support systems are breaking down, and we don't have the luxury of just sort of cruising around and saying hi to everybody. And there's this whole campaign to make us afraid of each other and alienated from each other. A lot of people are getting harmed by what's happening, and so there's this great contraction. So in the face of that, I think it's more precious than ever that we come into this awareness of remembering the importance of right association and appreciating the friends that we have and the acquaintances that we have and the colleagues that we can really share with and share our heart with, and we know are basically on the same page and working in the same direction, so that we're not sort of at cross purposes, but we're working in the same direction. In the Buddhist tradition, that's called the Dharma, the unfolding of our life and the unfolding of the teaching. All right, so now let me just go ahead and just throw it open. Does anyone have anything you'd really like to talk about? I have plenty to share, but I know sometimes there are certain things that are on people's hearts. I will just go ahead and, yeah, people are saying there's some static and there's maybe a fan. I can't hear it. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, it looks like it's pretty good.
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Let me try. I'm gonna try this. Okay. Is this better?
Yes.
Yes.
That's much better.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
That's good.
All right.
Awesome.
I'm not sure what's going on, but anyway, thank you, everyone. I want to make it as clean as possible here. Okay. So.
Well, yeah. I have a topic.
Yes.
Yeah. Just what you or others feel is the most effective use of our time as activists, time and money, you know, resources.
Yeah, okay. So thanks, Deborah. The question is, what's the most effective use of our time and our energy right now? And I don't think it's, I don't think things have changed that much in terms of, as vegan, for me anyway, okay, so for me, as a, as an activist, for 40 years for veganism, I still feel that that's the number one best use of our time, to do the best we can to bring the vegan message to the world, because if the world doesn't go vegan, I don't see any future. And especially now with technology and the power of big pharma allied with government and the medical and the media and everything. I mean, it's getting human beings to be predatory and to be exploitive guarantees that they will be preyed upon and be exploited. And that's what we see happening now, like on a massive scale. So I do think that we now have a twofold mission. I see that, at least for myself. Like, my mission was always basically spreading the vegan message, number one, most important thing. Bring that, you know, embody that. Try to embody the vegan message to live ahimsa or live loving kindness and compassion for others. And now, I feel like that's also combined with health freedom, you know, freedom for human beings. If we don't have that, then we don't have anything. We can't, we won't eat, I mean, and the censorship and so forth. So we're, if we lose our basic freedoms, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of bodily autonomy, then we have no movement. And the movement is being attacked from within and from outside, the liberation movement. I think all liberation movements, but especially animal liberation movement, is being attacked. So I think anything we can do to spread the human, the health freedom movement is also helping the vegan movement. So I think it's really good to do that. And also vegan message also. It's a little bit harder. Like right now we're traveling and doing the best we can to spread the vegan message. We just don't have the numbers like we used to have. There's Veg Fest, but instead of having 3,000 or 4,000 people or 1,000 or 2,000 people, like very often there would be in a Veg Fest, there's maybe, you know, a couple hundred at the most, very often. So, it's just, it's a tough time right now, but maybe things are opening up. But I think, you know, your question, Deborah, is, also very personal. Like, what is the best use of time, for us as individuals, and I think there's so many different ways we can be activists. Like Madeline is doing things with cooking and art, and you know we do a lot of things with public outreach and then through the internet. And I think it's education, you know, but finding our own way to do that education, whatever is your unique way to help share this message with other people, and then maybe get involved politically. But I do think that advocating for health freedom is part of the vegan message now. I mean, I just think you have to do both. At least I do. I have to do both. I don't think I can separate them anymore because we are being turned into livestock. And if we're turned into livestock, we won't have any hope of freeing the animals. So, I could say more about that, but maybe I'll stop here. Madeline, do you want to contribute anything to this, or what do you think about that? I just want to check. Madeline. Oh, God. I just want to see if you want to say anything.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't hear.
Just about what the best thing to do for being an activist at this time.
Oh, being an activist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I I think I like being one.
This is the microphone right here.
Yeah. So
you're right here.
Hi. I think some people like it better to be one-on-one. I think that screen is kind of not really good.
Yeah.
Or in front of a lot of people, but I love it one-on-one and see how I can tune into the person and say it in a way so they can understand and feel into it. So that's what I'm doing, and share my experiences, which is really good, I think so too.
Making videos.
Yeah, making videos, yeah, of course. I love making videos about all kinds of things. Also having a garden and planting food, cooking food from scratch, and helping people. If one helps people, then they open up and they're curious how one's life, what one does, how one lives, and one can share like this too. I mean, there are so many ways. Meditating, of course, yeah. I don't know what you said before,
because
I couldn't hear.
All right. I'd like to just add that other thing. I think, we tend to be outer oriented in our society, but I still feel that praying and meditating, and holding the space in consciousness, visualizing a healthy, beautiful planet and animals and so forth. I mean, I think that's very important work to do. Also, we tend to think that we have to be out always doing something in the outer world, or else we're just lazy or not doing anything. But I think there's an inner power in inner work. When we transform our consciousness, and bring it more into alignment with what veganism is as ahimsa, it changes everything. It changes the whole planet on a deeper level. So I think, creating a movement that's not only just doing outer things and writing and making videos and talking to people and educating, but also where we're consciously establishing ourselves in an awareness that is like a citadel, like a fortress of not being attackable by the forces that are trying to destroy animals and humanity. And I think what that means essentially, in many ways now, is not complying, like just being, like really not complying. Now, veganism has always been about not complying. It was just like, people would say, oh, come on, have a burger, have just a little bite of this, or wouldn't you love to go to the circus and or whatever and see the elephants, or, and we just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't comply. I'm not going to comply with these social mandates. And so nowadays, I think we really need to not comply, continue that, not complying with anything that harms animals, but anything that harms our basic freedoms. So that means perhaps really not complying with any kind of governmental mandates that would take away our freedoms. And, for me, that would be like wearing a mask or getting a test or whatever, I just don't go along with it. So I think I heard Robert F. Kennedy say something. He said, you can never comply your way out of tyranny. And I think that's it. You can never comply your way out of animal agriculture either. If you go along with it, it's just going to keep going. You have to not comply. And so be an example. Just to be an example of non-compliance with the forces of tyranny, non-compliance with the forces of violence and domination and exploitation and oppression of other beings and of human beings. Don't comply. Just refuse. Refuse to comply. And if we refuse to comply, we are many, they are few, and the animals will be liberated, humans will be liberated. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. And we don't have to be, I don't think we should be, hateful or angry or anything like that, but just with love, just not comply with things as much as we can. That's helpful. I see, anyone else I want to say, or Deborah, do you want to say something?
That was helpful. Thank you. I know there's lots of different paths and.
Right.
Yeah, right. And it's up to each of us to follow our passion as we maneuver what's the best for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that and, that you still, feel that freedom for animals is the basis of eliminating or the basis for having freedom for people.
Yeah, I really think that's an important thing. It's easy to get caught up in this whole thing and just wish that we could get back to normal for ourselves. But, it's not these powers that we're seeing unfolding in the human world, that's our shadow. It's our shadow coming back. It's the human shadow. We're killing billions of animals every day and force medicating them and force impregnating them and enslaving them. And it's our shadow boomeranging right back. So if we fail to stop abusing animals, I don't see how we're going to ever be successful in actually creating a world of harmony and freedom. I've been saying this for decades, and it's truer now than ever, I think. So we need to keep that. I think we need to, infuse the human freedom movement or whatever, health freedom movement, with the vegan message, because it's ridiculous to want for ourselves what we refuse to give to others.
I went to our health freedom meeting last week. And they're kind of branching out a little bit and talking about ways to be healthier in general. So they had a guest speaker who was a biological dentist, and she was talking about getting amalgams removed and all these different things. And I just thought, okay, this is our opportunity. These wonderful people, all of whom are eating animals still, are wanting more information about how to be healthy. And it's a great place, I think, to get that vegan message to these folks they're starting to realize if they want to stay well and they're not going to get vaccinated, then the best thing they can do is find out the healthiest ways to live. So that is a really interesting way to combine our messages of agreeing with them about not complying, but hey, guess what? There's this other thing, and not only does it make you healthier, but it helps you live in harmony with not complying to big pharma, big ag, and all of that. And I think it's maybe a sign that those folks are getting ready to listen to us. And the other point I wanted to make was kind of along with the lines of what you're saying, is that in order for us as vegans to create this vegan world that we have been envisioning now for decades, we have to grow. We have to look at our own shadows. And I think what we're seeing in the vegan movement is a lot of shadows coming out because of all the fear. And that's part of the reason for the split in the vegan movement. And so we really, like you said, we need to take time for ourselves to go within and grow spiritually. So that was all I wanted to say. But
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, your book, Homo Ahimsa, is a good place. Also has a lot of good ideas there. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you.
yes, Andy, you have your hand up there.
Sorry, I had to unmute. Hi, thank you so much, Will. Okay, so I don't know if I might have asked this on another one of your calls, and if I forgot the answer, if you have any suggestions on a couple things that I get concerned with is the money. Like, so I've got money in credit unions, but, you know, one of the things that I've heard about is they don't like what we're doing. They can just empty our bank accounts. I think, like, they shut down Dr. Simone Gold's bank accounts, and, you know, if they don't like what we're doing. So, you know, I've tried to learn about this crypto on the Greater Reset, but it was just like a talk. And do you have any thoughts on that issue, on what you think is a good place where we can, and I guess there's two issues. One is, would be investing, and the other is just having money. You know, like I pay with credit cards or sometimes with cash. Is there a different form of money that you're learning about in place of credit cards or banks or credit unions, and where would you suggest learning about that?
Right. Okay, well, you know, I think there is an awful lot happening right now. A lot of, I think what we see on the surface with the pandemic, this sort of massive lockdowns that have gone on and are still going on in many parts of the world, actually, like in Canada, a lot of it is not just an attack on health freedom, but it's an attack, it's an economic attack.
Oh.
And a lot of the people who I think are pretty savvy say that it's really, in many ways, the bankers, the financial powerhouses in the background that are moving the pharmaceutical industry, the media, the government, and so forth. That's where the real power is with the banks. And that, you know, this massive printing of money, like trillions and trillions of dollars of money, it's this deliberate inflation of the currency. So the dollar is being deliberately destroyed. It's pretty obvious. The dollar is being destroyed, and many other currencies are being deliberately destroyed. So, you know, if you see, the thing is, I hate to say it, but, you know, I think, pretty obviously a war against humanity, in the sense of, like, we have a war against animals, right? We see them as livestock. We just use them. We imprison them. And from their point of view, it's a war. From our point of view, oh no, it's not a war. They just taste good and we like them. You know? But from their point of view, it's a real assault. It's been going on a long time against humans, but now it's sort of suddenly intensifying. And one of the main ways, of course, you take away people's freedom, is take away their money, their ability to be independent economically. And, you know, economic independence is freedom in many ways, to be able to decide where you want to go, what you want to do, and how you want to spend your time and your life. And so this massive governmental printing of money, just banks basically, the Federal Reserve just pumping out huge amounts of money, it's debasing the dollar. And so I think that the move is to get away from cash, and there are some countries already that have done that, especially the Scandinavian countries. They seem to be, for some reason, going first. Sweden is now, they have a company that's proudly putting microchips in people's hands so that when they go anywhere, they have their little rice-sized microchip in there between their thumb and forefinger, and they can just scan it. The government or whoever, the bus driver or the airline or whatever, they can scan and say, oh, you've been vaccinated, and that's good. So they're putting it right into people's bodies, and people are kind of excited about that. And so I think the same thing for payments. Like, yeah, you just, you don't have to carry any money anymore. You just have your little microchip and they just take it off. You just scan your microchip and they take it off your account. And that's kind of exciting and fun. But not to me, but I think, I guess to some people. And so I think, the best thing we can do, and people are doing it, I think, still, is to refuse to comply. Again, you know, just, we just try to use cash a lot. Just keep using cash. You know, just use it all the time, you know, because as long as people are using cash a lot, it's going to be hard for them to stop it. If people stop using cash, then it's going to be easy. They'll just say, oh, nobody's using it anyway, and so I'll just stop it, you know, and so we shouldn't just voluntarily give up these basic freedoms. I mean, it's a freedom to use cash because cash is not something that they can just take away easily. I mean, they can't just remove it like they can. Anything in any account can easily be just taken away. A lot of people are saying cryptocurrencies are the way, but I don't think so. From the research I've done, I don't think so. I think that essentially the people that own everything, they also own the satellites and they own the system, they own everything. So even though cryptocurrency is not being regulated right now, and it looks like a great thing because it's not regulated, you have your own secret accounts and so forth, at any point they could just lower the hammer and say, no, now we're regulating it, and that would be the end of it. Then everything's regulated, and whatever money you have in crypto could instantly dissolve. So we don't have any money really to speak of, any money in crypto anymore because of that. So I think,
can I ask, so you did, but now you've chosen not to?
Yeah, we did a little. We never did a big thing, but we did some. We did a little, and you know, and then I heard about this, and I thought, yeah, I think it's a trap. I mean, it could easily be a trap. So,
okay. So what about though, like just where we keep our money? So I've got credit unions where I keep my money. You know, that's what I'm thinking. This whole social credit system. You know, I mean, I don't know when we'll get to that. Pray never, but. That's where they just have access to our bank accounts, and I'm assuming even if it's a credit union. So do you keep, like, do you pull out a whole ton of cash and just keep it somewhere? I mean, how do you, because I'm used to, I hate to say it, I pay with credit cards, and, you know, I want to start maybe taking money out of the credit union and just maybe keeping a bunch of cash on me so that I can pay with cash. And I also saw, because your non-compliance, I completely agree. Del Bigtree had a recent episode on, and it was something about, I think PayPal said they closed down his account, so people that have been donating to him through that, through PayPal or Venmo, that they closed his account. So I'd like to know also for clients, you know, I mean, I'd like to tell them pay me cash, but most have been paying Venmo, so I'd like to no longer support Venmo if possible. But yeah, so that's the thing is, do I just keep a bunch of cash on me and keep taking it out, or, because the majority of my money is in a credit union?
Well, I think, you know, credit unions are great. It's what we use. When I was a community college teacher, we had a credit union, and it's a co-op. It's just a co-op. It's the greatest thing. I love credit unions. I mean, it's a little co-op. Everybody puts their money together and they loan to each other, and it's great. So I think.
But you don't think they can just get in there and take all our money if they, you know,
well,
get them upset?
You know, I think, you know, hopefully it won't go to that point, right? I mean, the whole thing is people need to resist before it gets to that point that they just suddenly take everybody's money. I mean, I guess if, but you're right. I mean, it's you know, there's. It's just, if we have to not comply. For example, if you're collecting social security checks or anything from the government, and it would be easy, you know, it would be relatively easy if they, you know, sort of hype the fear to say, oh no, you know, the unvaccinated people are the problem. So they would just say, well, you know, you don't get a social security check if you're unvaccinated anymore. You've got to be vaccinated to get your social security, or you've got to be vaccinated to get your money out of the bank. They could say that. You got to be vaccinated to get your money out of the bank. So that would be, they say, oh, you can get it, no problem. Just, you know, just do your civic duty and get vaccinated, and no problem. You can have it. You can have your money.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's all kinds of things, you know. So it's just good to keep that in mind, I guess, you know, keep it in mind. But I think hopefully it won't get to that point, but we need to not comply. And I think that's what's happening. I mean, like what I was going to talk about today a little bit was just the fact that we suddenly, out of the blue, 2 days ago, had this great news from England that they're stopping the whole thing, right? I mean, it's like, what the heck? You know, they just announced, you know, no more vaccine passports, no more mask mandates, no more lockdowns, no more, you know, employment. I mean, they're just like getting rid of the whole thing all of a sudden. And in Czechoslovakia, he's followed up doing the same thing. I think maybe the whole thing will go away. And so you got to ask, well, what's really happening here? And I think we shouldn't be so foolish as to think that the globalists have decided, oh, I guess we lost that one. Yeah, I guess, okay, we'll just let them, we'll let them live free forever now. I don't think so. So, but I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't get into a big analysis except to say that the forces, the eugenics, I think there's a lot of eugenics behind this. I mean, there's like eugenics is looking at us the way we look at livestock and, you know, culling the herd, and there's too many humans on the planet right now. So there's been a tremendous amount of violence done to human beings over the last 2 years. And in England, there's a huge grassroots movement to arrest and throw thousands of government and medical people in jail and maybe kill them for what they've done. They've killed and tortured and destroyed the lives of millions of people over the last 2 years. They should really face justice and be killed. Right. And so I think Boris Johnson perhaps was just terrified of these people, and so they just said, okay, we'll just stop it. And it was the idea that now everybody will say, oh, thank you, and be grateful to them, and say, oh, thanks for being so nice to us and letting us, you know, have some freedom back, rather than, you know, get the guillotines out and kill them. But I think it would be foolish to think that they won't do another pandemic in another year or two. I mean, they've been doing this. I mean, I've been watching them do this. They did this, you know, back in 2009, they did the swine flu, and then they did the Ebola flu. They've been doing this every few years, trying to get one that would scare everybody, and finally they did one that scared everybody enough, because people were so gullible and so dumbed down by the educational system and by the media that they really were quite successful in inserting toxic vaccines into, you know, billions of people. Those people will probably all be dying, very possibly, over the next few years from these vaccines. So they've really, you know, they've done a lot, and maybe they know that at this point the whole narrative is completely unraveling, and they better stop, or they'll face the guillotines. I don't think it's going to go away. I mean, as long as we're eating animals, as long as we're sowing the seeds on a massive scale for violence and abuse of animals, and these people they own the media, they own the government, they still own everything. So they own the narrative. I mean, so we, you know, but the good thing is that we have, you know, we've proven in many ways that censorship kind of doesn't work. We've been able to go around them in many ways, and it's the I've read today that the people's confidence in mainstream media is down to only 10% of the people trust the mainstream media. I mean, it's really,
wow.
they've lost so much credibility because of their insane lies and violence. And I think, you know, so humanity has to, you know, get off its knees and absolutely, you know, refuse to comply with anything anymore, and go vegan. We need to, you know, redouble our efforts on the vegan front, and realize that, you know, they can't, you know, there's only a few of them compared to us. I mean, they own the media, and they can make a, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know, they can make this big thing, but it's really just a little guy behind a curtain, you know, pulling levers and scaring everybody. That's all it is. So, there isn't any, there's never been any pandemic. I mean, they just scare people. And, if we refuse to be afraid of them and afraid of, you know, trust our own health, don't believe in the pharmaceutical narrative. Don't believe in this, that we're just the victim of these bacteria and viruses, this whole fairy tale. And spread the word. You know, just spread the word and along with the vegan message. I mean, that's it. The two messages are exactly identical. I mean, it's question materialism. You know, I've been saying that forever. Question materialism. We are spiritual beings. We have enormous power and capacities and intelligence. We are not on a planet where we have to run around being afraid of viruses and bacteria and so forth. We're healthy, happy, empowered people. And we have God-given rights. They have no, and we're not going to stand for it. I mean, no way. We're not going to let them play their game. And bring the vegan message, you know, live the vegan message. And realize that, you know, I think we've been, you know, just in the last, we're making some, I think some significant progress as the narrative crumbles and the whole cult, the COVIDian cult is seen for what it is, as a big charade, and they're falling all over themselves. The CDC is saying, oh, cloth masks actually don't work at all, and the shots don't work at all. I mean, they're admitting it. They don't work. They don't work at all. They're just destroying it. And now they've discovered that these batches, that some of them are extremely toxic, and there's a hard evidence that they were actually, these drug companies were deliberately experimenting on people. So now they have no, their whole freedom from being financially liable for harming people is gone, because if it's shown in a court of law that they deliberately were giving toxic vaccines as an experiment and to harm people, then they have no, then they're not, then they have full liability, and they'll go to jail and be probably completely destroyed. So this could be possibly the destruction of the entire vaccine industry, which would be the greatest thing that could ever happen. I mean, get rid of all vaccines. I mean, they're all deadly, harmful. And I think, you know, that's the kind of, we're seeing that the corruption is so grotesque, and it's becoming obvious, you know, it's just becoming obvious. So, these are amazing times. I mean, this is the whole, maybe for hundreds of years, the dark forces have been gathered for this moment, and now we have to actually live a life of kindness and compassion for animals and for each other if we're going to be successful. That's how it looks to me. So these, it's amazing, though, what's happening right now. Okay, I have a few people with hands up here. Lisa, did you want
to? Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Andy. Yeah. Lisa, did you want to say something?
I think Angel has her hands up first.
Who?
Angel?
Oh, Angel. Okay, Angel, yes. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Aloha.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank Will and Madeline and everyone for your very valuable comments. They're all very well received and very deeply appreciated. Something I'd like to contribute to this conversation about non-compliance. I think we have to weigh the cost-benefit ratio, and I'm going to give an example from my own life. I teach yoga at the Fairmont Kealani, which is one of the highest ranking resorts in the world. And it's required of me as yoga instructor when I greet the guests in the lobby to wear a mask. But then within 5 minutes, I take them outside onto the lawn where we do yoga overlooking the ocean on this beautiful, and everyone can take their masks off there. And at that time, I spread the Dharma, and I'm also implanting the vegan message. I'm explaining namaste. I'm explaining that means honoring the divinity within us, and not just us, but the animals, our precious Mother Earth, etc. So, and these are people who are heads of corporations, who are doctors, who are lawyers, who have a lot of what I call trickle-down effect of other people they influence. They're big influencers, these people that I am teaching. And so I feel if I refuse to wear the mask, I will not be able to teach there at all. But I have this pink mask that has little sparkles on it, and it's very loose, so I can breathe well through the side of it. And I only have to wear it just for them to sign in the lobby, and then it's off for the rest of the time. And then I do so much good in spreading the Dharma and also generating right livelihood. And then these people buy my books. It has the vegan message, so on and so forth. And so I think we have to temper this with a little bit of common sense. And that is, I wouldn't say, I agree with you 1,000% about non-compliance. But there are times when you can comply a little bit to get a greater return. And I think we have to have the discernment to know when and how much to comply. Now, if they said you have to be vaccinated to teach there, I would try every way to get around that exemption, you know, charm. I have a lot of influence there, da, da, da. I would try everything possible to get out of the vaccination or the jab. It's not even a vaccination. But if it went to that point, then I would say no. Now, I'm going to give you some real-life examples here. A colleague of mine at the Fairmont Kealani teaches at the Four Seasons, which is owned a major majority by Bill Gates. And they have the policy there that every single person working there has to be vaccinated. So one of my colleagues has been working there for over 25 years, teaching yoga and aqua aerobics, etc. And they told her in order to continue working there, she had to be vaccinated plus sign a document that gave away all rights of her medical privacy. In other words, they can give her medical records to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And she walked. After 25 years of working there, she said, no, thank you. I'm not going to comply with those two conditions. Now, at the Fairmont Kealani, they have not imposed that as so far, and we hope they don't ever. But my point here in this compliance is, you know, if you have to wear a mask for 5 minutes to go into a health food store to get Sprouts or something really healthy so you can be strong to do your vegan mission, then it might be worth it. Or if you have to go into the post office to mail your books that are going out to people that are going to help them. So anyway, I'll just wrap it up by saying there are times when I think a minimal amount of compliance is worth the benefit that it brings. And also just my major appreciation to you and to Madeline and to everyone on this platform. I think this is a really like life force. This is like our booster shot. I mean, these calls are like our booster of our morale, of our direction, our strategies, our think tank. It's just so very, very valuable. So thank you, Will, for all of your noble efforts, for all that you do with your teaching tours and with your books and with these World Circle calls that are so valuable. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks, Angel. And everybody should know that Angel has a wonderful new book out, which is a solution, S-O-U-L, solution. And it's on Amazon, right, Angel? You want to say maybe a couple words about it? It's a really excellent book. It's the 10 main reasons to go vegan. And I highly recommend it anyway.
Yes, just to answer your question, Will, the book is in the final stages of production.
We
submitted it to KDP, and then the book came back with the proof with the colors washed out, so we're just trying to get that issue resolved.
Oh, okay.
And it should be up on Amazon within the next couple of weeks, or definitely within the next month. And it's called The Solution, The 10 Compelling Reasons to Choose a Plant-Based Diet. This book is life transformational. It's edited by our beloved Dr. Will Tuttle. It's endorsed by John Robbins, by Dr. Furman, by Dr. Clapper, by many great luminaries and number one New York Times bestselling authors. And it gives a very compelling, comprehensive case for how going vegan reverses animal cruelty, reverses starvation, reverses water shortage, reverses pollution, reverses the climate crisis, reverses modern day slavery, improves our health, reverses disease. I mean, it just gives such, with all statistics and very well laid out, plus it has my signature recipes that make the transition as easy as vegan pie.
Great. And lots of compelling photos in there, too.
Over 150 photos that we're now trying to get color corrected so they come out as vibrant as the message is.
Right. Thank you. Thanks, Angel. Yeah, we're looking forward to that, making its debut appearance. And Lisa, did you want to say you're going to follow up? Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned just earlier, Dr. Tuttle, that if we get the evidence to show that the vaccines are premeditated murder, actually they found the evidence, and its evidence are very compelling and inescapable. So that is the greatest news. Have you heard of that from Rich Reiner, Phil Mitch, is the lawyer that's investigating this case, and so
right.
That the batches, there are lethal batches and there are non-lethal batches, and they based on the CDC VAERS database, they do a data analysis. It shows that the makers are deliberately alternating putting out the lethal batches, whereas the others are not. So they can now track. There's actually a engineer in Silicon Valley putting out the same data, but allow people to track, to look up their lot number to see if it falls into any of those lethal lots. So that's really great news.
Yeah, right. It's very it's pretty powerful. I think we have to see how it all goes, but we have this evidence. And the thing, of course, I'll just mention one other thing about it, is that with these lot numbers or batch numbers, the ones that are very lethal are like 3,000 to 4,000 times more lethal. They're like soup. They're like really extremely harmful. And the thing is that the other ones just are totally, it's like their saline solution or a placebo. There's like nothing in them. And the interesting thing is that that most of them are like that. There's really not much in them. And they're always sent out regionally. Like they'll send a batch, a bunch of them to say Wisconsin and a bunch to Michigan and a bunch to Kentucky. And they kind of localize each batch where they're going. But interestingly enough, all the ones that are super deadly, they never did that. They sent them out to like all 50 states. And so that it wouldn't be trackable. I mean, they deliberately sent them everywhere because otherwise it would give it away. So the fact that the very deadly batches didn't follow the pattern of most of them, like 95% of them were not deadly of the batches, and they were all targeted to certain areas, just ship them to a certain area. But the deadly ones, they just put them everywhere so you couldn't see. I mean, it's just a kind of a dead giveaway in a way that they were deliberately trying to hide what they were doing. So this kind of evidence, I think this might be part of the reason why Boris Johnson is saying, okay, everybody, we'll forget everything now, and just let's just forget everything, just go for it, pretend nothing ever happened. And of course, as a lot of people have died, a lot of people have been permanently disabled, and it's just starting. So,
What's I think encouraging what I hear from Reiner's video is that people can look up their batches where they had taken the vaccine, and if those batches shows up on the database data, they can use that as evidence to show to sue the pharmaceutical companies, and in those cases they have to pay damages because it's proof of intention to harm.
It's criminal. It's a criminal. And then now it's not just an administrative thing. Because nobody's gotten any reimbursement. All these people that have been horribly maimed and had thrombosis and Bell's palsy or killed, so many people, so many children are dying, all these people are dying, and they don't even admit that it was done by the vaccine most of the time. They won't do autopsies. So, it's really a huge criminal action that's been happening, and they've been getting away with it because of the media has been controlled. But it's unraveling at this point, finally.
I put in the link to the database for this engineer in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
He was working on that, and he manually go over those records himself, and he found that about like 12,000 records in there have talking about children dying or injured, but then they mislabel it as nothing serious or just minor issues. So that is also a form of crime too, to misrepresent the reporting.
Right. Yeah, all of that's coming out. I've even heard that CDC has admitted that they were deliberately, they were inflating the number of people using the PCR tests and by labeling everyone a COVID death when they they weren't, so forth. So all of these things, it's all criminal activity, on a massive scale, really. And people should really, be rising up, in the streets. I mean, they've been horribly, abused and killed and forced into, tortured, really. Well, it's just like same thing like the animals, they should rise up too and ask for justice. And whether or not people will actually do that remains to be seen.
So one more piece of information, which I think this is a great news also, is that I just got it today from La Quinto Columna, the Spanish researchers. They have confirmed what's in it in the vaccine, and they have a video that explains very thoroughly exactly how the graphene oxides work in the vaccine and all the self-assembling nanotechnologies that works in the vaccine. So, have you seen that, Dr. Tuttle?
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, and the graphene oxide is very toxic and very harmful. And, it can be used in conjunction with, EMF fields. It really turns people potentially into patentable objects. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it just follows along the livestock model, right? I mean, you just modify any organism's DNA. If you modify the organism's DNA, then that is no longer a natural organism. That you own them. You can own them like you own a sack of cement or like you own any object. Once you change their DNA. So if people are getting these vaccines that potentially change your DNA to make spike proteins, then you're potentially a patentable object. But in any event, the nanoparticles can potentially interface with the 5G rollout, which actually just started yesterday. And that's something that we should be aware that there's They've talked about it. You know, they always talk about it. I mean, Klaus Schwab has written about it in his book, The Great Reset, and about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and that they would like to see human beings, you know, that biologically, you know, interfacing with AI, right? They want to have us basically become robotized. And the same way, you know, scientists work on animals, in experiments, they try to connect them to, in various ways, to computers and to get them, so they're no longer really animals, to try to control them. And they've been doing the same thing with pigs and cows and chickens, to try to dumb them down so they're more, it's more profitable, so they won't rebel, or they won't fight back, to control our thoughts, right? If we control our memories, right? If you take away people's memories, they don't even remember what it was like before. I mean, you know, if you can take away, I mean, I watched a video recently which was a top scientist talking directly to the military. I don't know how it got recorded, but he was talking about DARPA's technology. They've been doing this kind of research for 30 or 40 years. I mean, they're very advanced. Eliminating memories or replacing memories or inserting thoughts or taking away thoughts or inserting feelings, you know. And graphene oxide is a substance that can, it's one atom thick. I mean, it's totally unknown in nature. It's human made, and it's very highly electrically conductive. Who knows? I mean, like you're saying, these self-assembling circuitry in the human body that can then be read or be influenced by 5G that's being rolled out, and you have a population of drones. So you have a population of, that would be nice. If you wanted to have slaves, you want slaves that are easily controlled. So we have to, you know, have some basic common sense to realize we shouldn't be thrilled to have someone put a microchip in us and think, wow, this is really cool. Now I can swagger. There's a great video of Russell Brand. He shows this guy from Sweden. This guy from Sweden has a microchip in his hand, and he's showing his girlfriend, look at this, I can get a soda out of the soda machine. Nobody else can do it but me. I've got the chip here, and I can get the soda. Like he's some kind of cool guy. And it's like, I mean, come on, don't you realize what's happening? You're being totally enslaved, and wake up. You know, Big Pharma treats us the same way they treat lab rats. I mean, they don't have compassion for lab rats. They're using them, and they're doing the same thing. So again, the way this whole thing works is through the dumbing down of people through animal agriculture, through just having us so disconnected from our basic power and self-confidence that because we're eating animal foods and our bodies are toxified. I mean, there's thousands of chemicals that concentrate in animals' foods, and then they're putting them in chemtrails and in the water and in the air and everywhere. So we have to say no. You know, we have to, like, not comply. I mean, I agree with Angel. You know, you know, maybe there's times where you can cut a little slack here and there, but overall, it's not complying is powerful. And the thing is, when one door closes, another door opens. And I think you know, maybe I lose all these great opportunities. That's what we've done. I mean, I just don't give lectures. And they say, well, people are going to wear masks. I say, okay, I'm not giving a lecture. That's it. I'm not going to do it. And so I lost that opportunity, but other opportunities will open up. So I just, you know, but we all, you know, everybody has to draw the line. You have to all draw the lines where you want to draw them. And that's totally fine, you know, whatever you think is best. Okay, so now I think we got a few more minutes. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? I think, we're really in the thick of it here. I mean, it's like got to the point now where massive things are happening. I mean, it's getting completely crazy in Australia, Canada too. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, we're here at Hippocrates. People are fleeing Canada, and they won't go back. They can't go back. Yeah, it's just amazing what's happening. We meet people who are vaccine injured. We meet people that are injured by people who've been vaccinated. and they're trying to heal from that. You know, they got too close to someone who was recently vaccinated. One woman lost her baby in the 19th week, she said, because she got too close to someone who had been vaccinated, and then her baby just died. I mean, there's all kinds of things happening, and you know, it's just in many ways it's just beginning. So we're in totally uncharted territory here, and but I'm very grateful to all of you. Okay, yeah, Kenny, you have your waving there. You have a question?
Okay. I'm on my cell phone. And
right.
I'm sitting in my car. Yeah, I just wanted to say a few things. I want to express my extreme, I have many times, the gratitude for what you're teaching. Because, as you said, blows my mind. I mean, millions of things blow my mind. But what the crux of it, I'm trying to explain in my way, is that the vast majority of people watch TV, okay? Most of the time, even vegans, you know, they really trust that mainstream media, and you know they have to read the World Peace Diet a few times maybe to counteract the thousands and thousands of programming to eat hamburger. My, I have two children, they, you know, they thousands of commercials. We all eat hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza, and to take all these drugs. They were like over, and then they hear these Dr. Fauci's, and they believe that. They don't have, right. I mean, to be vegan is not enough. I mean, I explained there are four, you know, past parts of veganism and more, but the main one, you said spiritual, health, cruelty to animals, which is the big one for me, and environmental. And then, but it's not talked about. You talk about it quite a bit. I appreciate that, especially now, how corrupt and evil the pharmaceutical business is, and how corrupt and evil, the fucking evil, I'm going to use that word, I'm sorry, is the mass media that get their money from. I mean, to me, it's like, I'm getting money from buying a hamburger to Hitler. So, you know, to me, it's the same idea, that it's cruelty and lies and, you know, anyway, right. I just wanted to say that, yeah.
Thanks, Kenny. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because I wanted to mention actually the thing that really these industries they don't make any money on people who question the narrative, right? That's their worst nightmare. And
right.
Really understand, like, I have not had, you know, I was talking about it at dinner tonight. It was so interesting. We had dinner tonight here at Hippocrates. This guy named Jim, he's at Hippocrates because he's like got cancer, he's overweight, he's a really sick guy. He eats meat every day, you know, and dairy. That's what he lived on. And now here he is, and he's eating sprouts, and he, you know, for 3 weeks, he said, and he was so in, he was on, his last day is tomorrow. He's been here for 3 weeks, and he's lost a lot of weight. His cancer meds are reduced, and I mean, he's much healthier after being here for 3 weeks, but he's so excited to change. He's really enthusiastic. And his wife's in supporting him, and he's going to be eating sprouts and vegetables and just really turning over a whole new leaf. And he's watched Cowspiracy and What the Health, and he's learning about all the cruelty to animals and all these different things. So he's excited to learn all this stuff. But the thing is, he still wants to watch television. And I was telling him, look, I haven't been to a doctor, you know, it's been, you know, all these decades I haven't gone to a drugstore and get drugs. I think the main reason is I haven't had a television. I haven't for like 48 years. And because I was telling him, you know, the television set, it's very sophisticated what they're doing. And they have flicker rates that they've worked out and other things that should just kind of put people into a semi-hypnotic trance somewhat, to mind control them with repetitive messages, and probably, I'm sure, a lot of subliminal messages.
They're like the Hollywood movies, the commercials. Yeah. They try to make them like, so
right. You don't know what you're watching. So I told them, look, just throw your TV out the window. Just get rid of it. You know, you don't want a television. It's just not, it's very unhealthy, I think. I mean, you know, I'm just so glad I don't have one. I know some people feel like they have to watch the news or whatever.
Some comedy.
I think it's the mainstream media, like you're saying, is extremely toxic, and there's nothing nothing good. It's sort of like eating meat. You know, there's nothing good there. It's just, it's violence, it's toxic, it's harmful, and look who owns it. It's owned by the chemical, pharmaceutical, banking, petroleum complex. That's who's using it. And, you know, just don't use it. Don't give it any attention. You know, whatever we put our attention on, we become that. I mean, we really, you know, we allow that in. That's food. I think it's important to think about, the kind of food we're eating and remember that food is, the food we're eating, the actual, plants that we're eating, but also the air that we're breathing. You know, do your best to really make sure you have healthy air. Get a purifier to, you know, we breathe a lot of air every day. And water, you know, make sure your water is good. I mean, there's all the chemicals that people are taking, there's hundreds and hundreds of pharmaceutical drugs that end up in the water. So get a really good water purifier. I think it's important. You can either Epic or Clearly Filtered. I know those two make filters. We use one that just takes out literally everything. Fluoride and these chemicals. Just get a really good filter. Because these toxic chemicals, your body has to deal with it sooner or later. But also think about what you're eating in terms of your feelings and your relationships and your thoughts and the media and all these inputs coming in. That's where I think most people find they get disease. It's not just from toxic food and water and air. But toxic relationships or anger or frustration or revenge or jealousy or, you know, those kinds of things, or just indulging in watching things that are really not healthy to be watching or listening to, or indulging thoughts that are toxic. I mean, really, there's an old saying in the spiritual healing world that we should all stand porter at the gate of our thoughts. You know, stand there and decide which thoughts you're going to allow, you're going to entertain. Don't just entertain thoughts that are not bringing you love and peace and joy and harmony and wisdom into your life. We're being bombarded. And really, I think it's especially now, because there's a lot of evidence that people are under attack mentally. We're under attack mentally anyway by the media. But there's even quite a few cases recently of people getting, you know, like losing their mind and changing. Like people, for example, who knew they were never going to get vaccinated. They absolutely were not going to get vaccinated. And then they suddenly just find themselves walking down the street and going into a place to get vaccinated. And they're standing in line and they're suddenly going, why am I here? Wait, what's going on? Oh, and you know, it was like all they can remember was that they had this feeling, oh, it would be so great if I was just vaccinated. I could just get along. It would be great, you know. And, you know, where is that coming from? I mean, we don't, there's definitely technologies that have been developed by DARPA. I mean, they admit it. They talk about it, you know, to insert thoughts. There's a woman here at Hippocrates who worked for the military for decades, and we have lunch with her every day. She's telling us. They know about these technologies, the voice in your head technologies. There's lots of technologies so if you meditate and you understand your consciousness well and you're used to every day to spending an hour watching your mind, it's going to be much more difficult. You'll be much more aware. Wait a minute. Where did that thought come from? Is that my thought? You know, but if we don't meditate, if we don't take responsibility for our thoughts and the quality of our consciousness, then we're much more vulnerable, you know? And the other thing is to just stay at a high level of vibration. You know, vibrate at a level of joy and freedom and gratitude, and these lower level things will not affect you. You won't have an impact. You won't even notice it. But as soon as we come down in our vibration, we become vulnerable to that level. And so that's, again, nobody can do that for another person. We, each one of us, it's really, we're responsible for that. But I think it's good to remember that we can help people around us by being loving and kind and caring and grateful for them and support each other and staying in a high vibration. remember, even though there, we can talk about there's perhaps an attack going on, but we don't have to be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. What we are is ultimately undamageable. What we are is of the nature of infinite life and harmony and love and freedom and peace and joy. That's our true nature. We're like the sky, which can never be damaged by any clouds. And this is all clouds. We're talking about clouds. We're the sky. And I think ultimately to just come from that place of giving liberation and freedom and support to animals, to hungry people, to future generations, and to just share our thoughts and wisdom with others as best we can, and we will have had a good incarnation. That's all we can hope for, right? Have an incarnation. It has a beginning, it has an end, because the physical body is not who we are. This physical body at one point, we will stop using it. And so for the time we're here, that we're using this vehicle as best we can to fulfill the mission that we have while we're here, and to really every day connect with what that mission is. And I think when any one of us does that, we make it much easier for other people to do the same thing. That's the best way to help others, I think, really, is to just be an example. We're doing it ourselves. So Madeline is nodding. Madeline, you want to add anything more?
We need to tell something to
She's waiting. Yeah. Good. So Madeline sends her love. And does anyone else have any final thing here? I know we're kind of at our closing time. It's about 9:30 here in Florida. So... Okay, Anne.
A couple thoughts about trying to pull back a little bit from the regular financial kind of tyranny of things. And like most of us, including me, are completely bought into credit cards and bank accounts. And so I look at it that I try to pull myself away in a variety of different ways to the extent that I can. So one thing I've done is pulled some money out of the bank and invested in some silver and gold, including the junk silver and gold, the smaller increments, because if it ever comes to that, if we have a community around us where people agree to trade in that, that's completely out of their control. And that's if we just have our own or our own, whatever the commodities are that might be desirable. That's one way. And then another would be, with the crypto, I think that if it's ever like a CBD or whatever that acronym is, a government-issued currency that would be digital, that would be something to avoid like the plague. But I think the blockchain is on so many different servers all around the world, I don't think it's possible. I don't think government regulation can touch it, really. So I wouldn't... Personally, I wouldn't invest a lot in crypto, but I just figure, well, just spread it around a little, you know, invest, learn a little bit about it, invest a certain amount in it, and just find other ways to interact with people around you and exchange goods, you know, sort of bartering, so we're less dependent on that whole system. Anyway, just some thoughts about, you know, ways to try to wiggle it a bit and get a little more free.
Those are all good points. Yeah, everything you said, I think. Gold and silver, and like dimes, nickels, quarters, you know, half dollars, dollar, silver dollar, all that stuff. It's probably a good idea. And land is really good. I mean, whatever you can, and food. We've stocked up a lot on grains and beans and things. Yeah, it's good to have plenty. You know, there's definitely a lot of big attacks on the supply chains, so it's good to have plenty of resources and be savvy. You know, just be savvy, be prepared. The old Boy Scout motto: be prepared. Remember that. Be decentralized. That's the main thing. Veganism is always about decentralizing, I think. So. All right, so I'm going to, thank you, Anne. Those are good.
I think you kind of have to go here. Madeline, would you like to come over and we can do our little thing? All right, so thanks, everyone, for your kind attention. Madeline's informed me that I think there's somebody here at the house where we're staying that needs my help or something. So let's say our prayer at the very end. I send a big hug to all of you. Much love. We appreciate you. And Hopefully this has been helpful in some level. So let's say our prayer together. Here we go. You can unmute if you'd like. Why not? Yeah, here we go. Compassion
circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Right. Again.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
One more time with feeling. Love you all. Thank you.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
What to think about?